to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you wherever it is in the world that you may be when this message reaches you. I greet you with the message of hope, of peace, of love, of absolute truth in Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, how you doing out there? How goes it? You know, life can be an interesting thing. Yeah, there are twists and there are turns. There are challenges. There are surprises. There are points of interest. There are lows and valleys. And I think sometimes some of us can get pretty down because it seems like there's so many lows and so many valleys and so many things that just get us down, depress, repress, make us wonder, even our reason for existence. But you know, God with us, when He came into the earth, He identified Himself with what we would face while we were here. You know, the book of Isaiah talks about Jesus being, well, you know, the Lamb of God being, that He was one that was well acquainted with our sorrows, that He, you know, that He knew what it was to go through the kind of things that we would go through. It says, even in Isaiah 55, that it was the will of the Father to crush Him. That even Jesus, so even Jesus in His time on the earth, that He went through the press. He went through the difficulties. He was tested at every point and yet was without fault. You know, that's one place where, yeah, you know, we go through as well. We get tested as well. But we fail. We struggle with our humanity. We struggle with our weakness. We struggle with our flesh. We struggle with the limitations of this life. Whereas Jesus, when He came into this life, He came through each test. You know, and you know, the thing too, I mean, think about it. When God was sending His Son into the earth, I mean, you know, if you're the King of Kings, in the natural thinking, in the man-made thinking, yeah, you would put him in a palace. You would make sure that the mother that he was born to had privilege and access and everything else. But no, Jesus, you know, came into, when He joined and came into the world, He came into very very humble surroundings and a very humble beginning. You know, He didn't come into this world, you know, with what the world would say you need for a good start. Okay? You know, Jesus did not come into the world with what you need for a good start in worldly terms. But what He had was the favor of God upon His life. What He had was the Spirit of God that empowered His ministry. What He had was God leading and directing, and He following of His own free will, the plan and purpose of the Father. And I believe that God set it up like that on purpose. I believe that God intended for Him to go through everything that He went through on purpose. See, one thing is that He showcases for us that no matter what start you have, and I don't think that many people listening to this right now, that many of you were born in a barn or in a stable, you know, surrounded by animals. I don't think many of you were. You know, my speculation is that for those of you listening, that you were born into something better than that, as far as natural terms go. But God set it up because He wanted you to know that whatever situation you may be born in, whatever start of life you may have, however weak you might think it is in your own eyes, that when a life is given over to the Father, when a life is given over to His plan, His purpose, His reason, and when you surrender your life under that, things change. Existences change. Reasons for being change. The consequences of life and our actions change. Life becomes something different. There's meaning and purpose to your life. There's meaning in everything you do. Everything you do has a reason. The God that we serve, there's a reason in the things that He has us to do. And He makes object lessons out of our life. You know, one cool thing about being a child of God, about being a son or daughter of God, is that you can do anything. You can literally do anything. And nothing in this world will master you. But you will go in with authority from the living God and do more than anybody could ever imagine. And when you do it, it's also going to come with trial and test and tribulation and struggle and all of the rest of it. But God will do something through that and through your obedience. See, He does want you to obey, but not because you're afraid of your God that's standing over you with a stick, you know, or a belt or something to hurt you with. But no, He wants you to obey because there is, one, a heart of love that you have within you that desires to please Him and to walk with Him. And two, that you understand that there's also a blessing that comes with obedience. Obedience is God's plan to reward your life. And when you obey the express will of the living God, when you obey Him, there's a blessing that comes with that. There's an amazing blessing that comes with obedience. And obedience is better than sacrifice, the scriptures would tell us. A lot of people want to sacrifice for God. They want to give up for God. They want to donate for God. But God would tell you, you know, look, before that, I would rather that you would focus your heart and your life and obey. Obey what it is that I've put for you. Obey the statutes that I've laid down. Obey my plan, my purpose. You know, the thing right now that's funny I see going on in the world is there's a lot of people, as the world system is ramping up, there's a lot of worlders. And I call them worlders. You know, I mean, it's kind of a term that a few of us have thrown around. But they're people of the world. They're people whose hearts and minds and souls have been given over to the world, and they will do the bidding of the world and the world system. They're a worlder. And there's a lot of worlders that, you know, because there's been a window of time where certain things have just sort of been allowed, and it seems like judgment has been delayed, that they've gotten more bold. But, you know, in their perversions, in their disdain for the things of God, in their own their own position, they've dug their heels in a horrible position when it comes to their eternal soul, but they have, and they believe that, you know, what they're doing is the way forward for them in their path and their career and all of that. But it is a deception. And it is also something that will lead to an incredible destruction, an incredible fall. But one thing I've been noticing is that the worlders themselves, you know, at this time, you know, many of them have forgotten that life here ends. Because the way that they act, the way that they behave, it becomes apparent that they have no concept of the fact that they're passing through. They're passing through this life. And in the window of time that they pass through this life, that it's, you know, that window of time that they pass through this life, it is, you know, it's a dressing room for eternity. This is not the home. This is the dressing room for your eternal stop. And the thing that's going on right now is that I see more and more just outrageous behavior by them. Just open lies by the worlders. Just open deception. Just open contradiction. Open just blaspheming of the things of God. Open just tearing down of anything with a moral structure or moral compass or anything that would perhaps bring some proper approach in society to issues of morality, to issues of faith, and to issues of, you know, coexisting with others. You know, all of those kind of things. You know, the worlders themselves have enlarged themselves, fattened themselves for their own slaughter by lying, cheating, deceiving, and standing for, not just standing for nothing, but standing for everything that is anti-Christ. So if it is anti-Christ, if it is anti the scriptures, anti the word, then they want to destroy that, they want to kill that, they want to keep that away from people. You know, they want it. If the worlders are looking to see what they can do to try to oppose truth, and to the degree to which they're willing to oppose the truth, that is the degree to which the world will fund their deception. Because the world wants to propagate its system. It wants to figure out a way how to scalp the souls of men. They're looking for ways to do that. And they're investing a lot into that. You know, I see this one coming. But this chipping of society, which, you know, in the future will, I truly believe, will be something that they bring out, that they roll out. Now, you know, we've talked before some about the mark of the beast. And, you look at what's coming up right now with technology. You look at what's coming up right now with the ability to access. You know, you look at what's accessing of information in real time, whatever it is that you need to know. You know, you look at what's coming up in the future, and the thing that you realize is that, you know, when it comes time that they want to roll out some of these things, they will roll them out in such fashion that everybody will be clamoring to get, to give up their soul, to pledge their allegiance to the world and the world system and its ability to take care of them, to watch over them, to protect them, to keep them safe. Everything that the kingdom of God does, without any struggle, just in complete harmony, the world will want people to buy into the illusion that they're able to do something similar. You know, the worlders need that. Whereas God provides for His people, freely we receive and freely we give. But, you know, the worlders at this stage, you know, they look to see what they can do to oppose truth. And to the degree to which they do that, that's the degree to which, they are promoted by their system. You know, the worlders, they want to be part of that robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying. They don't see the harm. You know, I mean, when it comes down to money, it makes people funny. Gosh. And you know, when it comes to the world, there's the things that they are willing to do, you know, to gain and to benefit. Now, here's the thing you got to realize. If it were not for the grace of God, if it were not for His Holy Spirit living inside of you, if it was not for that, you and I would be as bad, you know, as any worlder out there. We would be as bad as anybody that, you know, could potentially just walk on the enemy's side. You know, God, if you understand that it is God's grace and His mercy that's been in place for us, that because of that we are able to have a different existence than what it is that we could have been born into, lived in, died in. You know, God wants you to have a full life. He wants you to live an incredible journey. He wants you to follow Him. You know, Jesus wants you to follow Him. Yeah. You know, it's that the thing is, when you follow Him, you give up whatever it is that you're doing, and you go out with whatever, as much of Him as you know and trust, and you just go forward believing that whatever it is that God is doing through any particular situation that you may be going through, He's going to work it out for the good of the called according to His purpose. And God is going to always work something out for you. God is always going to work something out for His people to be able to walk with Him in boldness and in strength and in courage, and also seeing His power demonstrated on their behalf. See, if you will stand for what's right and what's true, you know, in the right time, God will bring that resource to you to keep you going, encourage you, let you know that you are on the right track. You know, God has that kind of way. He'll stir the hearts of those that are His to make His point for Him. You know, God is stirring the hearts of those that are His. God is stirring our hearts to preach the gospel, to preach the truth, to let men know and women know that they don't have to live an existence below and beneath God's plan for them. You know, God wants people to know that there is an optimal level of life. Greater is He that lives in us than he that's in the world. So we have authority all of all of that stuff. And, you know, God, He takes care of His own. So, you know, in the process of the struggles that life may bring, always know that the Father that's there, that's watching His children, He reaches down at the moment that they need Him. At the moment that they need Him the most, He brings that to them. You know, and that that challenge, that's part of what trust is that knowing that God is going to come through for you. Even if you don't see it right now, that God is going to come through for you. You know, I believe, you know, that God establishes people for a reason and for a purpose. God sets up His people to accomplish His will in the earth, because in them following and choosing and carrying on with whatever it is that God has said, that something incredible happens in their life and in your life. And God wants you to know that you can live differently than what it is that other people live by, live on, look for. You don't have to live like them. You can actually live an amazing journey with those that will partner with you. You know, God wants you to lead and to move forward with what He has for you. God wants you to trust. God wants you to learn to discipline yourself when it is the case that you have to work with difficult people, that you discipline yourself to be able to keep things in the right focus, in the right perspective. You know, rather than allowing for things to master you, you need to master your emotions. You need to master your thoughts. You need to master your tongue. And, you know, that's one thing that's incredible, is that God desires that, you know, you would master life as He would enable you by His Spirit. See, that's the other side of it too, is when you realize that, you know, that in yourself, in your human ability, in your human flesh, that you are limited and you have no restraint. But then when the Spirit of God comes in you, now you have a choice. So you're not given over to your flesh, you're not given over to the world, you're not given over to all of those things that are anti-Christ. Your soul belongs to God. You know, God wants people to remain in possession of their souls. God wants people to take the time to test things and to make good decisions and good choices. You know, God is looking for a people who in this day and age know Him and trust Him and know how He's moving right now. You know, a lot of the things that people think that God is doing, and have questions about, you know, He is preparing that which is right now for that which is to come. And you have to trust Him, because He knows what He's doing, and greater is He that lives in us than he that's in the world. So, you know, you just trust Him. Trust what the Father is doing with you. Trust what it is that He has for you. Trust that He genuinely cares about your best interest. And it says in Scripture that I know the plans that I have for you. You know, plans for a hope and a future. You know, God knows the plans that He has for you. And He would ask you to trust His plans and to give up your own. You know, that's one thing that each and every one of us needs to do, is to give up our plans for what we thought life would be and to let go unto God's plan. Because the plan He has for you is better. The thoughts that He has for you are better. They're better than what it is that you could ever put together. You know, God's plan for your life is incredible. And you have to seek it from Him, because you only get it from Him. You know, you need to receive God's plan and purpose for your life and trust Him in that, knowing that He that began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you out there. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com, or write us through our Facebook page. Just look for Faith Mix and Facebook. I always love to hear from you guys. So, hey, God bless you. Love you. Keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.